Morning. It's good to see you here this morning. What we used to say with the kids, we're all in our places with nice, shiny faces. You know what you used to say in the kindergarten, preschool? It's good to see your smiling faces this morning. So we come together to worship Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for coming. Pray that you're blessed as we spend time together. Those that may be in the parking lot or those that may be listening later on the website, may the Spirit of God speak to your hearts. May we be listening as He speaks. May we pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the wonderful things you do for us. Now, Lord, may the presence of the Lord excuse me. May the presence of the Lord bless each person. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Pastor Ed, I think you're doing all right now, aren't you? All right, good deal. All right. It is good to see everybody this morning, and we welcome you to church this morning. If you're hearing a visitor, I don't see one this morning, but I don't believe we have one. But anyway, you all are welcome to be in God's house this morning. And like you said, we have your smiling faces, and we'll go. We're going to do our hymn sing this morning like we always do on Sunday morning. I still believe in the hymns of the church, and we'll use one each Sunday, and then we'll get into other music as well. But let's sing page four, to God be the glory, as we all stand, and verses 1, 2, and 3, and it's on the board as well. You don't have to pull the books out if you don't want to. To God be the glory. Indeed, we believe in that.
He gave us his Son.
seated. Welcome someone this morning. You know, I think about when I call the verses out, Tonda warns me about that more than anyone. Don't skip verses. And I got to thinking the other day, one had four verses. And I got to thinking, you know, it must be bad to be a third verse of a fourth song. It must be bad. So it's kind of like having a pair of brown shoes with a tuxedo. Doesn't work. So I'm going to try to do them better on that. I promise you that. But it is a pleasure to see you this morning. I've got some announcements for you this morning. I want to share with you as well. And we are indeed in a time now for, I'll get all to it here, for the NC Home Missions offering is in process now. And we'll continue leading in the month of September. And remember, it's for our disaster relief programs. It's for the Baptist Home Missions. It does a lot for our home missions. So keeping North Carolina Home Missions, if you don't have an envelope like this, get you one. And you'll be ready to go with that, okay? Talk about homecoming. Homecoming. Boy, I tell you, it's going to be here before we know it, here in September. I don't even know where the month of August went. I mean, it's just look around, it's gone. But here we are in September. And let's remember that homecoming will be September. And it will be the 24th day of September. On Sunday the 24th, we'll start out that morning with our regular services. Pastor Ed will be preaching the service that morning. But then that evening, we'll come back at 5:30 for a covered dish meal. And then the singing towers, or now we've changed our name to the Towers Quartet. And that we'll talk about that later on. But anyway, we'll come back, and we'll be here at 7 o'clock for concert for that. So come and be with us. The Golden Agers trip. We've changed the date a little bit. That I hate to say, I think I'm the one that caused that, and hope I didn't inconvenience anyone on that. But we'll now be going Wednesday the 11th and not Tuesday the 10th. Okay, so I believe does everybody understand that? Is there a problem anywhere? If anybody's got a problem with that, we'll go back to the 10th, and I'll just sit it out. I mean, that's the truth. So be sure now. Don't inconvenience anybody because of me. I don't want that. Not at all. Okay, so we'll go with the 11th if that's okay with everybody. Okay. Any other announcements? Anywhere? All righty. Let's then go to prayer requests this morning. I know we need to remember Kathy High. She's out this morning. She has some health issues. We need to be praying for Kathy. And who else we got here? Okay, just... William Honeycutt, okay.
His lung cancer has reoccurred. So.
Okay. All right. Anyone else?
Let's remember the family of the young man from West Stanley Middle School, Kevin Lopez, that drowned this week.
Oh, my goodness. I hadn't heard that. Goodness gracious. My. Anyone else? All right. Let's pray for our homecoming. Let's pray for our homecoming service and all that that's coming up. And Miss Aunt Birdie, how's she doing? Is she doing about the same? Okay. And we talked about Miss Betty. She's doing fairly well, but not able to come, right?
Right. Her movement is getting slower.
Okay. All right. If there's no other, let's wear a prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We always, Lord, thank you for the blessings. And Lord, before we ask you for anything, Lord, we say thank you. And Lord, I know it's for your grace, from your grace, that we're here today. And we ask a special blessing upon us today, Lord, as we go forward in today's service. We ask for a special blessing on Pastor Ed this morning. And Lord, as we pray that you touch his voice. We pray you touch his body, Lord, give him strength, give him healing. This morning, I pray. And then, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, we thank you for all who will have a part. But now, Lord, as we want to be specifically, as we ask for a prayer this morning. We want to pray for Kathy High this morning, who's away with some health issues this morning. We pray for her. Pray for the William, from Honeycutt and the cancer that he has, Lord. We pray, Lord, and touch his body. Lord, we know that you're in charge and you know that you're able. We pray for him. And the family of Kevin Lopez, the tragic loss of him, the child, we pray for him and the family. Pray for our homecoming, Lord, as it comes up now, Lord. Help us, Lord, to come together, Lord, and to worship together and remember and to thank God for the fact that this church was planted here many years ago. We pray, Lord, for that. We pray for Aunt Bertie this morning. Continue to pray for her and the family and all the caregivers. And then, Lord, we lift up Miss Betty to you this morning as well. We pray that you give her strength and give her courage, we pray. And then, Lord, as we go forward, we'll be careful, very, very careful, to bless and say that your blessings, Lord, are in your name that we do pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing a song this morning together as we stand this morning. One that we've done before, and the next time we sing this song, I talked with Tonda this morning, and we're repeating these songs. And the next time we sing this one, we're going to take the vocals that they sing out of it, and we're going to have ours in it. So this, because I think we're ready for this one here, and I think you'll agree. Now is the time for worship. Let's all stand, please. Oh yeah, that's what I want this time. This time I want it. Yeah, next time is when we're going to change all that. Thank you, son. You'll keep me straight. I know you do. It's got a long introduction to it. Gets you ready to sing.
Come. Now is the time to you are before your God. Come.
today, maybe write down the scriptures and look them up and think about them, because what I have to share, I hope, can really revolutionize your walk as a Christian, help you to grow and be stronger and more dynamic, more powerful as a believer. Now, when you look at your Bible, what are the two main divisions? The Old Testament, the New Testament. Now, you know, some translations use Old Covenant and New Covenant. A covenant, we use the word more today, contract. Have a contract between, you maybe have a contract with somebody to build you a house or that kind of thing. An agreement. And my understanding is a covenant is really a stronger agreement than even a contract. It's a very powerful thing in biblical language. For example, you know, God made a covenant with Noah, said, "I'll never flood the earth again and destroy everybody." God made a covenant with Abraham, "You follow me and do what I tell you, and you and your wife will have a son, and out of him will become a great nation." God made a covenant with Israel and said, "You follow me, you keep my laws, you worship me and me only, I will bless you tremendously." You remember over in Deuteronomy, he talks, "I'll bless your baskets, your store, you're going in and you're coming out, your kids, your cattle and your fields, and I'll bless you just in tremendous ways." That was God's covenant with Israel. And so throughout the Old Testament, there's a covenant between God and his people. Now let me ask you a question. Would you agree with this statement? The Old Testament covenant is full of powerful people and awesome miracles of God. Would you agree with that? Think about it for a moment. I mean, Abraham and Sarah had that baby when he was about 99 or 100 and she was about 90. You ladies that had kids, you think 90 years old? The Louder family history says that my great-granddaddy Louder had his last baby when he was 75. Now, it was with a 20-some-year-old wife. But I used to tease Pamela that we're going to have another one. She said, "Dream on, buddy." Just dream on, buddy. It's not happening. Well, you think about Moses. Burning bush, 10 plagues in Egypt, parting of the Red Sea, water out of a rock, manna in the wilderness for 38, 39, almost 40 years. All great miracles. You think about Joshua dividing the Jordan River. And you think about Joshua in battle saying, "Moon and sun, stand still, because I want to finish wiping out God's enemies right now." And the sun and the moon stood still. Your lesson this morning was about Daniel. Think about old Daniel. Made a pillow out of a lion, and another one snuggled up to him to keep him warm. That didn't happen often. You think about it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Fiery furnace, and they prevailed. You think about Elijah praying, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then when he prayed, it rained. Elisha proclaiming healing over Naaman, the Syrian army officer. And his leprosy was healed when he dipped in the Jordan River. The Old Testament is just full of powerful, powerful people and powerful promises. That's the Old Covenant. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And we want to get into our era. Hebrews chapter 6. And Hebrews chapter 8, sorry. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now hath he, and the he refers to Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. The book of Hebrews tells us that the covenant that you and I have because of Jesus is better, improved, superior to the covenant that they had in the Old Testament. In other words, what we have is a new and improved version of what we had in the Old Testament. It's got better covenant, better promises. Now, we won't look there, but in John 14, it says, greater works shall you do, Jesus talking to his disciples, than I have done, because I go to the Father and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So Jesus telling those disciples, you're going to have something better even than what I have done. Well, we've just seen how things were in the Old Testament, but he says, we got it better. Now you think about some of the things that I was just coming down the road this morning. I was thinking about some things. Back when Barney wanted to slip in a little conversation with Juanita down at the diner. And he had to use that old phone that was in the sheriff's office. And he had to call Sarah at the switchboard, and she had to hook him up with Juanita down at the diner. And of course, Annie could sit there and hear everything Barney said, and whoever was in the diner could hear everything that Juanita said. And if Sarah wanted to listen in, she could hear everything that was said. Now, Barney could have just said, Andy, I'm going to go on patrol. And he would have gone out, gotten his squad car, and drove around the corner of the block, pulled out his cell phone, and clicked in Juanita's cell phone number, and she could have gone to the back room and nobody's listening. So now we have it better. Just like I wrote in the newsletter this week, now we have it better. Again, coming down the road, I was thinking about a trip I took with someone. We stopped for the motel, and they gave them a room, they gave me a room. And my room number is 180. Don't ever take 180. Well, back in those days, you don't want to take 180. I mean, on the phone, there's a little sticker that clearly said, to get an outside line, dial 9. So if I wanted to call somebody, I had to dial 9 to get the outside line and then call that. Evidently, there's a lot of knuckleheads in that motel that night that didn't read that little sticker. So they start to call an 800 number, 1-8-0, and my phone would ring. My phone rang all night long because as soon as that 180 went into the system, they thought somebody in room 120 is calling room 180. I thought, this is stupid. I never would let anybody give me room 180 again. But you see, now we've got a better system. They'd have just pulled out their cell phone and called whatever number they were going to call and wouldn't have bothered whoever's in room 180. You see, the point is, Jesus says, look at the Old Testament, look at all the awesome people, look at all the awesome miracles, and he says, our generation, from Jesus till now, has a better covenant better promises. And that we can do greater works even than Jesus did. I know that staggers our mind. We said, Ed, look at those people. Look at those people, how wonderful they were. And at this point, I think most of us, as contemporary Christians, would say, Ed, I don't begin to measure up. I don't begin to measure up to those people in the Bible. Wrong. Turn with me to Matthew 11. Turn with me to Matthew 11. Now, in my Bible, this is in big red letters. Matthew 11. And Jesus is talking. Verily, Matthew 11, verse 11. Chapter 11, verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Let me read it again. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You see how he's rating that? He's saying, all right, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Joshua, Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they all rank right here. We've just established that they were powerful people and powerful miracles. He said, but above them is John the Baptist. Said he's greater than anybody in the Old Testament. Now that isn't Ed Louder, that's Jesus. Now all those people in the Old Testament, none are as great and as powerful as John the Baptist. But then did you catch what he says? The sorriest Christian that has ever been born is greater than John the Baptist. Now again, take it up with Jesus if you don't believe me. Read it. It's what he said. He said, you as a Christian, I as a Christian, are more powerful than John, and John is more powerful than anybody in the Old Testament. Now that just sort of, are you kidding me? But that's what Jesus is saying. Because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit in a way that previous generations didn't have it, didn't have the Holy Spirit, didn't have him living within them, we are more powerful than they. And you know how often we always say, well, I'm not much of a Christian. I'm trying, but I'm just not much of a Christian. I don't know who's the sorriest Christian that's lived in the last 2,000 years. I guess they're, you know, the Lord would know, but he's saying the sorriest Christian that ever will live is greater than John the Baptist, who is greater than anybody in the Old Testament. You say, wow. Wow. And Jesus here doesn't limit it to a time or place. He didn't say now, you know, these people are going to be greater than John in Bible days or greater than John for 200 or 300 years or greater than John for whatever. He didn't limit it. He just said, whoever's least in the kingdom, if we're saved, we're in the kingdom. Now, why have we allowed the devil to lie to us all of these years and tell us you can't? The day of miracles, the day of the power of God is past. You're just a sorry, good-for-nothing Christian. You don't have any authority. You don't have any power. He's lied to us. And we've bought into his lie. All over the world where people believe this, miracles are happening. God's being glorified. People are getting saved, healed, delivered by the thousands. But we've allowed the devil to lie to us. You know, friends, our covenant is better and our authority is better than anybody since John the Baptist, according to Jesus. Jesus is saying it, not Ed Louder. Jesus is saying it's better. Now, when are we going to grow up and act on it? Believe it. Allow it to become a part of our life. That's up to you and me. I think about, I want to illustrate this several ways. I think about a lady that I knew 50 years or more ago. She and her husband never had any kids. They lived in an old house that some of you younger ones might not even remember. They had the electric light coming down with the fabric covered around the wire. One bulb right in the middle of the room, and you went up and you pulled a string to get the bulb to come on. Anybody besides me and Leonard remember? A few of you remember that. And when her husband died, she was pitiful. She sat there in the dark and literally starved herself to death over a period of a few months. Now, it wasn't for a lack of food, because several of the ladies in the church would go every week. They'd clean out all the old moldy food, all the old uneaten food, trash, clean out a refrigerator, and put fresh, new, hot off the stove food into her refrigerator. But she wouldn't eat, and she wouldn't eat. Now, she had food available, but she didn't eat, and literally starved herself to death. And when she finally died, nieces and nephews that didn't care a flip about her split over $100,000. Now, $100,000 is a lot of money to me now. But what would $100,000 have bought back 50 years ago? Now, she had all of that available to her, but she missed it. She missed out on the blessings that were there in a refrigerator. She didn't have to cook it. It was just there. And I'm sure there were some things like potato salad and other things that she wouldn't even have to warm up. And pie and cake and other things that you wouldn't warm up. The Bible says we have a greater covenant with better promises, and we are, as believers in Jesus, filled with the Spirit of God, more powerful than anybody in the Old Testament. And John the Baptist, who is the bridge between the two Testaments. That's according to Jesus. And yet we've allowed the devil to cheat us out of our rightful inheritance, our ministry, our blessing. In 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Greater is the presence of the Holy Spirit living in you than the devil living and ruling in this world. In other words, Jesus wouldn't have told us to resist the devil and he'll flee from you if we didn't have that power. If we weren't more powerful than the devil, then Jesus would have told us, you hide from him. You run from him when you see him coming. No, Jesus said, when you see him coming, you tell him to get out, and he's got to get out. It's our choice. But we've allowed the devil to lie to us for years. Now, you know I can't have a sermon without some songs. And I can't quite put this together, but I'm going to give you two. One of them, I think, is a song that goes something like this. I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger traveling through this weary world of woe. Is that a song? All right. I was right. And that's a song. I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger traveling through this weary world of woe. Well, if the devil can get you to believe in that's who you are as a Christian, you're going to walk around with your head down, your shoulders bent, like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. And you're going to be miserable. And even though you're a Christian and you may have some effectiveness, you're not going to have very much effectiveness. Because I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger traveling through this weary world of woe. I mean, you know, if I can just make it to the rapture or till I die and get a glory, I'm good. I dare you to do something else in a different song. Get up in the morning, or maybe when you go home this afternoon, get in front of the biggest mirror in your house. Look yourself straight in the eye in that mirror and sing this song, third verse. I once was an outcast stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down. I'm an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. And you begin to realize you are adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. You are the heir to a robe, a mansion, a crown. You are a joint heir with Jesus. And you'll walk out and the devil will hate to see you coming, because your head will be up and your shoulders will be thrown back and you'll know who you are in Christ. You'll know the authority you have in Christ. And the devil will say, man, I hate that he got up this morning or she got up this morning and came out. It's totally different perspective as to who you think you are. The devil knows who he is, but it's who you think you are, and who you think you are should be based on this, not on the lies that the devil tells you. Now you think about Prince William over in England. You think he walks around like, I'm just a nobody? You think if he walks into a restaurant and says, do you have a table? There may be 40 people in line, but he's going to go to the head of the line. If they have to kick out a family over here that's not half through eating, they're going to get him a table immediately. Why? He's the son of the King. And because he's the son of the King, he has power. He has influence. Well, folks, don't let the devil lie to you. You are a child of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are a child of Almighty God. Don't let the devil lie to you. Now, if you're used to walking around with your head bent and poor wayfaring stranger singing person, it's going to take a few times when you're looking in that mirror and singing, I've been adopted, my name's written down, I'm an heir to a robe and a mansion and a crown. It'll take a little while for it to sink in. The devil will say, you don't want to really believe that. You don't want to really believe that. Go back and look at these scriptures. I didn't make any of them up. This isn't the gospel according to Ed. This is the gospel according to the Holy Bible, the inspired word of God. There is power. There is authority. There is victory. There is the direction of God. There is power in prayer that is yours and mine because of who we are. Now, if the devil can keep us convinced that we're a bunch of weak nobodies, he loves to do that. And there are a lot of Christians that are walking around and they're going to go to heaven. But they're not going to go into heaven in a victorious way because they didn't live as a child of the King. You are a child of the King. Be encouraged by that. Be grateful for that. Be grateful that Jesus defeated the devil 2,000 years ago and you can walk in that authority because Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You go and make disciples in my name. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be in you. Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus knew what he was talking about when he says, the miracles that I've done, you'll be able to do, and even greater miracles because I go to the Father and I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Folks, be excited that the old covenant was great. John was greater, but the new covenant and you are even greater according to God's holy word. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. Would you think about what I've just said? Would you be willing to say to yourself, I am a child of the King. Father, forgive me for walking around ashamed, embarrassed, head down, shoulders slumped. Father, help me to realize just who I am in Christ. Help me to live, Father, in such a way that my status as a child of the King is evident to all that sees. That I will walk with power, with authority, with love. That I will be the kind of Christian that those early Christians were. That I'll turn upside down the little world where I live. If there's a decision you need to make, come to the altar or accept Christ or anything, you just come right on. But I pray that every believer here will affirm the truth of these scriptures. Better covenant, better promises, better position because we belong to Jesus. He's our big brother, our elder brother, but we've been adopted into his family and we are kings and priests to glorify the Father. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you that we don't have to live defeated. Thank you that we don't have to live ashamed and embarrassed. Thank you that we don't have to be the whipping boy for the devil and his angels. Thank you that we can walk in victory with our head held high. Thank you, Father, that the end of the book says we're going to go to glory and we're going to enjoy that robe, that mansion, that crown. No, Father, help us to so live that we'll have many crowns that we can lay at the feet of Jesus. When we say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for indwelling me. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you his peace in Jesus' name.